This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Have you been distressed over a wrong in our world and felt God nudging you to make it right? Well, what can we do if that problem is so big that we're too small to fix it on our own? Well, the Old Testament talks about a man who, in spite of holding a low-profile position, took action to correct a 70-year-old problem. Stay with us today as we learn how God can use each of us in a unique way to accomplish His purposes in our message entitled, Start Praying.
There's great power in praying. We have a good story for you today about the power of prayer and the great things God can do through you as you pray. Stay with us. Let's pray. All-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present Father, we humbly come before you this day to praise you for your goodness and grace and faithfulness. You have promised to never leave us. Thank you for always keeping your word. We've come this day also, Lord, to hear a word from your holy scriptures. We're hungry for it. By the power of your Holy Spirit, enter our hearts and minds and teach us again with your truth. Amen.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light changeth thee. 'Tis only the splendor of light changeth thee.
Our text for today is from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 15. It's the tail end of the story of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah writes, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." Here ends the reading.
Thank you.
Dear friends, I am an avid reader. I enjoy reading all kinds of things, but I particularly enjoy reading stories about overcomers. I loved Will Steger's book, North to the Pole, and Dick Bass's book on seven summits, climbing the highest mountains on the planet. Or Corrie Ten Boom's Hiding Place moved me. I recently read Bonhoeffer by Eric Metaxas. Great read, talking about the perseverance of Dietrich Bonhoeffer facing the Nazi regime. I'm presently reading a new Metaxas book, Seven Men and Secrets of Their Greatness. And again, very moving. I love to read stories about people who persevere and how the human spirit can overcome magnificent odds. We have an inspirational story like that before us today that I wanted to cover a bit with you. It's a story about a man who was kind of ordinary, I suppose, and plain, but he was highly motivated. And he was a man who persevered against insurmountable odds of his day and accomplished an amazing goal. His name is Nehemiah. And you find Nehemiah in the Old Testament. His story, which he wrote, reads like a personal memoir, an autobiography of sorts. He was a man who obviously had some gifts of leadership, and he also had worked his way up the ladder to be able to work for a king as a cupbearer. It was the king of Persia for whom he worked. You see, Nehemiah was a second-generation Jew, part of the exile of the folks that had been dragged away from Jerusalem off to live in a foreign land under the Babylonians. But now the Persians were in power, and Nehemiah found himself in a pretty good spot working for the king as a cupbearer, which meant that he tasted the king's food and wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned. I would imagine that had to have been a bit of a scary job to have. Anyway, it's about 425 B.C., and it's December. And Nehemiah hears reports of a very sad situation in Jerusalem. And his heart broke as he heard about the walls of Jerusalem being torn down and the place being overrun by enemies and all sorts of evil doings. And it says, I sat down and I wept, Nehemiah said. You ever had that kind of thing where something just really breaks your heart? A broken person that's in your life, so on. Well, Nehemiah saw this brokenness back home and he just wept before the Lord. He eventually gathered up the courage to go approach the king of Persia, for whom he worked, and to ask him if he would agree to let him go with the king's blessings to rebuild the wall, of all things. And the king said yes, and gave him papers and all sorts of authority to purchase things to put this wall up. So Nehemiah hits the road, goes 800 miles to Jerusalem. Keep in mind, he didn't fly, he didn't drive, he probably rode a donkey. It took a long time. When he got to Jerusalem, it was every bit as bad as what he had heard. He doesn't announce right away as to what he's up to, but one evening he goes out for a little trip around the city walls at night to see just how bad things really were, what needed to get done. And when he was done with that, the next day, he called a meeting, some of the locals, and he explained to them that God had given him this call upon his heart, that God was at work in this thing, and God wanted that wall to be rebuilt. And so the people bought in. They were convinced, and they began to go right to work with Nehemiah. Now, there were great odds already, just the thought of this huge wall. This was not like putting up a gate and a wall around somebody's garden. This was a huge construction project. It looked impossible, I'm sure. But then to top it off, Nehemiah and his workers were laughed at and ridiculed as they ran into opposition, of course, naysayers who didn't want to see this wall go up, enemies of the Jews. Leaders like Tobiah and Sambala, we read about in this story, Persian overlords who see this as a threat to their positioning in the territory. They ridiculed and laughed at this group and told them there's no way they'd ever get it done. They tried to discourage them that way. You know how we use words sometimes to put people into their place. But the ridicule didn't stop them. And as they continued to go to work on this wall, that ridicule soon began to turn to concern and hatred and scorn as they observed this thing beginning to take shape. Then they began to take action to stop the project from being completed. They organized their armies and threatened to march against Nehemiah and his people. Nehemiah ended up organizing his own army of people, and as they worked hand in hand, with one hand on a sword and another with the bricks in their hands, putting up the wall. They spread rumors and threats and tried to get them into trouble with other authorities, like the king and so on of Persia. They tried to trick him into getting him off by himself so they could either kidnap him or assassinate him. Not only was there problems that he had to be overcome with the outside, but there was problems within amongst the people themselves. The rich people were taking advantage of the poorer people, and so they were at odds over the injustices that were taking place. People were starving because they couldn't afford to pay the cost of working on that wall. And each time Nehemiah would step in and he would keep this thing going. And in the end, the wall was built and dedicated in 52 days. Now, if you've ever seen Jerusalem or pictures of its walls and gates or even a map in your Bible of the city, you know this was a supernatural, amazing accomplishment. The wall went up. It's an inspiring story. Now, the tendency, I think, among people these days is to take a story like this and point to Nehemiah and his character as a leader and exclaim what tenacity, hold up his leadership skills, and he had a vision, he organized, he put it into action, he passed the vision on to others, he treated his workers with compassion, he was courageous, spoke his mind, went after his goals against all odds. A real example of perseverance to go, look what Nehemiah did for the Lord and for his people. Boy, I wish I could be like him. And leave it at that. But while all of these things are true about Nehemiah, before we get too caught up into that kind of thinking that I just described, Nehemiah himself would say, don't make me the hero of this. The glory belongs to God in heaven, not me. Even my enemies saw that, Nehemiah wrote. They were afraid when they saw the wall completed, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Behind this amazing accomplishment is a testimony to the power of God at work in his praying people. He was empowering Nehemiah as a leader and carrying out his purposes. The real hero is God, who pours out his strength and his wisdom and his perseverance into an open heart as it turned to him in prayer, as it turned to him for help, and amazing things then happened. God gave him that vision and clear call. When? When he fasted and prayed in the presence of God at the beginning of this story. You can read about it in chapter 1. as he consecrated himself to the task at hand, as he confessed his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of his people, asking for forgiveness. As he gave himself over, God gave him a call. Finally gave him enough courage weeks later to approach the king. And as he dared to talk to that king, he was doing it backed by the power of prayer, knowing that he was not alone, that God was beside him in this. And he says as he approaches the king about it, the king says, "What would you have me do?" Nehemiah said, "And I prayed to the Lord about this, about what words to use with this king. And lo and behold, as he spoke, the king listened, and the king gave permission and did an amazing thing. He let him go to tackle that project. And as he got to Jerusalem, each obstacle that was faced, whether it be the enemies or the threats or the ridicule or the trickery or the intrigue or the injustices, everything was handled in the power of prayer. God was giving the strength. God was showing up. Every time, God was faithful. He wanted to see this wall come up. That's why he had Nehemiah there. And he gave him the necessary resources to make it happen. And the finished product, a huge wall, after only 52 days. What we see in this story, my dear friend, is the hand of God working through a praying, willing servant named Nehemiah. Now, why was this story saved for us? To simply give us a character to emulate? I don't think so. It was saved for us to awaken us to the faithfulness of God. And what happens when God's people catch a vision or get a broken heart for something or a passion for the kingdom and then entrust themselves to God's leading in prayer? That's what happened with Nehemiah. His heart got broken by a broken wall. He turned to the Lord and said, "I want to do something about that. What can be done?" God provided the vision. God provided the opportunity. God provided the strength and perseverance to carry it out. God provided the assurance along the way to keep him courageous. God provided the words and the wisdom that was needed to inspire others to move in that direction. It reminds me so much of Jesus as he did his earthly ministry. Before Jesus would go out each day, it says the disciples would have to go out and find him. He'd be off praying to his Father, gathering his strength, his wisdom, to face the ministry of that day. And what about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, on his knees, asking for God to give him the strength to carry out the mission, the project that had been breaking God's heart, to save his people from their sins. Jesus was in prayer. It gets you to thinking, what task has God called me to these days? Is there someone broken in your life that it's bothering you to see their hurt and their brokenness? Is there a project of some sort that you think would be such an honor to God if someone would take it on? Maybe it's a church that's lost its sense of purpose, or lost its way, shrinking. Maybe it's something in the community where people are really seeing their lives get destroyed because of it. Maybe God's tapping you on the shoulder with that sense of brokenness you have about that subject. Maybe it's time to get on your knees and pray. You know, God can use anybody, even a cupbearer like Nehemiah, to do supernatural things. Maybe it's time to ask God to open your eyes to something if you're not seeing anything these days about as far as a purpose for your life. Maybe God's putting brokenness all around you that you just need to look up and see. And when you begin to see it, get on your knees and ask God to use you. And you'll be amazed at what God can do with that. One last story. There was a man named Jeremiah Lamphere who lived in New York City back during the 1850s. And these were really bad years of tension when the shadow of war loomed over America. There were strikes and depressions, and banks were struggling. There were long jobless lines and violence in the streets. And in this setting, Lamphere had accepted a calling as a full-time city evangelist. He walked the streets, knocked on doors, put up posters, and prayed constantly, but all to no visible result. As his discouragement increased, Lamphere looked for some kind of new idea, some possibility for breakthrough. New York was a business town. Maybe the businessmen would come to a luncheon. So he nailed up his signs, called for a noon lunch in the old Dutch church on Fulton Street. And when the hour came, he sat and waited until finally a single visitor arrived. Several minutes later, a couple stragglers peeked through the door. The handful of them had a nice meal. Well, he gave his idea another go the following week, and 20 men attended. At least it was a start, but then 40 came on the next third week, and the men were getting to know each other by this time, and one of them suggested he'd be willing to come for food and prayer every day. Lamphere thought it was a good sign, and he ramped up his efforts for a daily meal and prayer time. Before long, the building was overflowing. The luncheon had to move again and again, so high was the demand. The most intriguing element of the Fulton Street Revival, as they called it, called the phenomenon, was the ripple effect of it. Offices began closing at noon for prayer. Fulton Street was the talk of the town, with men telegraphing prayer news back and forth between New York City and other cities. And yes, other cities had started their own franchises of this. Other godly meetings were launching in New York as well. And the center of the meeting was prayer. And it was okay to come late or leave early as needed. Men stood and shared testimonies. This was not a place for well-known preachers. This was about the working class businessmen who wanted to share the things of God. Some historians went so far as to refer to the Fulton Street Revival as the Third Great Awakening because it lasted for 2 years and saw as many as 1 million decisions for Jesus Christ. It all began with one man with a broken heart for people, for his city, and the power of prayer. It's amazing what God can do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, where would we be without these stories of the past, which remind us of your greatness and faithfulness? Thank you for calling us into ministry. Help us to keep our eyes open to the brokenness around us. Help us to remember the power of prayer. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to get on your knees and learn how God can also use you to do amazing works for His kingdom. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. These gifts are sometimes given to remember a special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, please send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and their gifts. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 77th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.